Food Fight Radio on KCBQ is sponsored by FranVest International, Inc.
Celebrity status to push our food agenda. Our mission is to reach out and touch all food lovers.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds kind of dirty when you say it like that.
Yeah, it does.
Let's say we just want to get all you people out there who just eat to stay alive and don't really care what goes into the tank to appreciate something, anything about the food that will wake you up in your daily doldrums and actually feel something. Sometimes a really great hot dog is all it takes. Doesn't have to be a $200 dinner. We know that a foodie is not necessarily a great cook or someone who spends a fortune on cheese. A foodie can just be someone that develops an interest in even one, just one kind of food, like popcorn. If you just get really super happy when munching on a really nice extra buttery popcorn, and you make a fuss over all the little special bacon-flavored and cheese-flavored bits and powders and sugary things you can put on the popcorn, guess what? That makes you a foodie.
My wife will be happy to know that she's actually a foodie. She's
a foodie.
Person. She's, yeah, about food, but popcorn.
See?
We will not go to certain theaters because the popcorn is subpar.
So, ha!
Yeah.
All you people, you can't make fun of us anymore because you are one. You've been sneering at your foodie friends when they babble on for 20 minutes about who makes the best French fries. You are a self-loathing foodie. But you don't have to cry about it. We're here to help you. We'll make you feel so good about your little food obsession that you'll make a shrine to us and line it with your favorite spices. And send us a picture of that, too, by the way. We love that kind of stuff. Today on Food Fight, we'll be covering pesto. All the great things you can do with it and where to get the good kind if you're too timid to blend your own. Later on today's show, we've got the votes in for the best muffalata sandwich, so don't touch that dial or you'll always be wondering what the heck a muffalata is. So pesto.
Pesto.
Pesto is just blended basil leaves with olive oil.
Pine nuts too, right? And cheese?
Sometimes.
Because I know if you remove the nuts, it's called a pesto.
Cool.
Traditionally, yeah. So if it has no nuts in it, if it's just the herb, oil, and cheese, it's a pesto.
All right. Awesome. Then freaky foodie types can also, aside from nuts, they can put in creams and garlic and citrus peel and other crazy things that make it far more interesting. But the base, the basic one, is just fine too. Restaurants tend to charge a pretty penny for just a plate of pasta tossed in a couple tablespoons of it. You can get a really good pre-made one in the refrigerator section of any decent-sized supermarket, but making your own is really simple. We'll put up a simple little recipe for you on our website. Again, giving us the ability to have a food show for one more week. We've made our quota, so we're good there.
Yep.
We're good for one more week.
This week, basic pesto.
Basic pesto. But we are going to put in little options for things that you can throw in there to make it a little bit more interesting. So we're not quite that bad. If you don't grow basil plants in your kitchen window, I mean, I know you don't live in Portland here, but bear with me. These grow so well, so get some seeds, plant them in little pots with chives and cilantro. Those three things look really pretty together on your windowsill. Plus, you can use them all the time and thus not pay retail for a bunch of basil.
Yep.
Which is really pricey, and you don't need a lot. You really do need a lot of it.
Yeah.
To make a decent amount of pesto. So that's generally what keeps people from trying it out at home.
The leaves itself are expensive, especially the fresh ones with the stupid little chunk of dirt on the bottom of the thing you buy at the store. That's just ridiculous.
Yeah,
it's already dead.
You're not going to transplant it.
No, you're going to eat it.
Yeah, just
come on.
Chop it off. Yeah, buy a plant. Buy a plant so you can take it home if you feel bad about killing the plant.
And then rip off all the leaves. You're like, now I destroyed a living thing.
Yeah. You're going to feel bad.
Yeah, why would you do that?
If someone else has already done the hacking for you, you're not going to feel bad.
Yeah.
Well, I don't.
Yeah.
Of course, I don't feel bad when it's an animal, so why would I feel bad that it's a plant? In a basil leaf and oil blend, you can add pine nuts, other kinds of nuts, roasted chestnuts. What other kinds of nuts do you like to stick in pesto?
I love cashews. They make it more of a creamy base. Toasted walnuts. I'm really big with my pesto. We talked about this last time, I believe, tahini. So sesame seeds aren't really a nut, but same difference. I like
those.
That.
Are also good sunflower seeds.
Sunflower seeds, definitely.
What would happen if you put dried fruit in there?
There would be dried fruit in your pesto.
And how do you think that would taste?
It depends on the fruit. Pineapple, I think, would be too much of a shock. cranberries, I think, would be really good if you chopped them up. They weren't whole.
Try to chop them up super fine because the oil is going to keep them from sticking.
Yeah, yeah. They're
so
not going to stick.
So the little bits, even sticky dried fruit would probably be fine.
I bet you that'd be great. The pesto with the cranberries stuffed in a chicken breast.
And
roast that
you
off.
You can add in more dimension with things like lemon peel or orange peel. Mm-hmm. If you want to get a little bit crazy, you can put kumquat peel.
Kumquat peel.
Yeah, those are cool. And you don't have to grate them fine. Kumquat peels are so thin.
Yeah, they're
that
very...
you can just really just kind of micro dice them.
Yeah.
And those are great little shreds. Chopped fennel bulb. You can put
Big
that
fan
in
of fennel,
there.
Yes.
Very smooth, anise type flavor, kind of licorice-y if that's your thing. I would love that. Cashews are a good nut to stick in there. There's about 1,000 things that you can add to pesto to make it really intense and unique. So making it yourself or getting the pre-made stuff and adding your own extras at home works too. Now, what can you do with all this pesto that you've made, you ask? Ask.
Hey, what can you do with all this pesto that you just have me make?
Well, I'll tell you.
Oh, thank
I'll
you.
I'll tell you. Aside from the obvious pasta tossing, mm-hmm. you can swirl it into soups.
Yes.
Either finished soups or unfinished soup. It looks great floating there on the top because it's really oily. You can smear it on bread and rolls. You can stir it into butter for a nice infused butter, very impressive to guests. You can mix it with sour cream and pretend it's a fancy dressing for sandwiches or salads. You can mix it with mayo for your own fussy little green cool-looking aioli.
Fussy.
Fussy. Mm. Very fussy looking. It's green, so it's green. It's very fussy. You can add it to Alfredo sauce.
Nice.
Very good. You can add it to one of your layers of lasagna. You can put it on frozen burritos or enchiladas because those are always totally dry.
Yes, always.
They need to be moistened up a little bit. Toss it with diced chicken and some leftover veggies, and you have a tasty chicken salad.
Ooh.
Throw some dried fruit in there also. And you can mix it with tuna fish to make pretty good tuna fish salad.
Oh, there we go.
What are some other meats that you think would be great? Schmear it on prosciutto and roll it up in a little rolls.
Oh, definitely
throw
prosciutto.
Some mozzarella in
yeah,
there. Any kind
that'd
of,
be great.
Any kind of smoked meat.
Yeah, or
it's
just
be fantastic.
Turkey before you sear it, rub it with pesto, sear it up, and then roast it. It'd be great. Beef, I mean, it's basil, so almost any meat will do great with pesto. You can also mix it in your hummus and have a great pesto dip for any fancy chips you
hummus.
Want.
And not just dip, you can put it on a sandwich.
Oh, yeah. Hummus, pesto hummus spread. People pay a lot of money at stupid sandwich shops for that.
Yeah, stupid sandwich shops.
Stupid sandwich
yeah,
shops.
Yeah, we got a bone to pick with stupid sandwich shops.
My sandwich shop, oh, it's so yummy. Oh, here's a piece of meat. Oh, and a bunch of dressing. You will love it.
That'll be $9.
That'll be $9, please.
Do they have any idea how much any of their ingredients cost everywhere else in the world?
No.
Yeah, tuna. No. Tuna's very rare here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, in this.
Yeah, this is
particular...
not the tuna capital of the world. This is not where people have been farming tuna since we farmed tuna.
Since we
that was
since
bad.
Since we farmed tuna.
Since we farmed tuna.
People are growing crops of tuna fishes.
No, but there's tuna farms here
Give
in San
them
Diego,
a little
and
respect.
And this is where the majority of the tuna is fished. It's in San Diego. So it's silly.
Well, then, yes, that's a valid argument. That's because I passed the Bumblebee building on the work, on the way to work every day.
I can't
Bumblebee
not
tuna.
Sing that stupid song on their commercials whenever I
well,
hear their
don't
name.
Sing it now.
Oh, I'm not because I like our listeners.
That's going to get stuck in my head like uh-huh. that ridiculous Mufalata song you made up yesterday. Do you know who makes a really great pesto?
No, who?
Dine In Tonight. They do a fantastic creamy tahini pesto over ricotta cavallette. Very delicious. Creamy, nutty, intriguing. Always made fresh. They have a dill and walnut pesto that they put over butternut squash ravioli with red wine poached pears. It's really, really mouthwateringly good. This is just two of their incredible meals. They have 100, which they make fresh every day. They deliver it right to your door, right at dinner time. The steak is seared, the pork is perfect, and the noodles are nutty. Like Chef Marcus.
Thanks.
Everything they make is fresh, super delicious, and is always $10 per entree, which is a really good manly-sized entree, by the way. Good news for Marcus here.
Yes, they
He's
fill me
manly-sized.
Up.
Mm-hmm. Sign up for either 3 or 5 nights a week and get a whole free extra week when you use promo code KCBQ, or just call them at 888-64-MEALS. That's Dine In Tonight, where your fresh gourmet dinners are always just $10 a meal. You can also sign up online at dineinthenumber2nite.com. It's the biggest thing since the George Foreman grill. Or sliced bread.
Or sliced
Whichever
bread.
Thing you think is a slightly bigger thing.
Sliced
that's,
bread.
That's the thing that this is the biggest big. Thing since.
Got
that
it.
Make sense?
Yes.
If you haven't checked out their online menu calendar, which you probably haven't, if you're hearing this commercial for the first time, then do it now. I'll wait. I'm going to get some coffee while I'm waiting. See what you've been missing. DineInTonight.com. And just a quick thing on storage of fresh basil when you bring home fresh basil from the store. If you're not going to make your pesto right away, you can stick the stems and the roots, if you have them, but generally you don't, in a glass of water, cover the top loosely with a plastic bag, and stick it in the fridge. You can snip the leaves off as you need them and then recover, but you know what? Since you're going to be using about 6 bunches of basil to make a decent batch of pesto, just go to the store and get the pre-made stuff and add things to it.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, making your own basil is fun if you like making a greasy, oily mess out of your kitchen. Not fun if you don't.
Now, if you really want to make your own, but you don't want to buy all those leaves, they do have those minced basil tubes you can buy in the fresh herb section. It's like 6 bunches of minced herbs in a little tube already cut up for you. It's cheaper than fresh basil, and you can avoid some things if you're trying to avoid...
You can avoid the greasy mess.
Avoid the greasy mess, or if you don't want Parmesan cheese, or if you don't want the nuts because you're allergic and you don't want
to
touch
anything. If you like to have that intimate connection that some people like to experience with the fresh veggies and fresh basil leaves, fine. You probably already have some growing in your backyard right now. If you don't, go buy some mulched up basil.
Mulched up basil.
In a paste, in a tub, in a tube. We don't care. Put some stuff in it. We'll have all the instructions and cute little add-ins and things. They're like yogurt toppings almost. Nice long list of really awesome things you can just throw in there. Blend it all up.
I thought you were just telling me to put pesto in my yogurt. And I was like,
ew.
That would work with this flavor.
That's yucky.
It wouldn't work with that flavor.
That'd be terrible.
Like maybe with strawberry.
Gross. Coming up next on Food Fight Radio, using chocolate in non-desserts. You're saying, what? She's crazy. No, I'm not crazy. I just really hate leftovers. You'll be brimming with new ideas when we're done with you. Food Fight Radio will be right back.
In this corner, authentic New York-style pizza from Knockout Pizza Miramesa. Eat in, take out, or delivery. And in that corner, the other guys. And the winner by a knockout. KnockoutPizzaMiramesa.com. Limited delivery area.
Have you looked at your grocery bill lately? You've probably noticed that good food is expensive. And between planning, shopping, cooking, and cleaning up, it's also time-consuming. And probably one of the least rewarding daily chores you have. Hey, here's an idea. Let Dine In Tonight simplify your life. One meal at a time. They hand-deliver hot, delicious, gourmet meals right to your door at dinner time. A few of their 100 gourmet recipes include maple-glazed baby back ribs. Oh, hello. How about lemon chicken piccata, roast beef with Dijon sauce, roasted red snapper, Havarti chicken with portobello mushrooms? Choose 3 or 5 nights per week for just $10 per entree with no delivery fee. Get a free week of meals delivered by using promotion code KCBQ. Sign up online at dineintonight.com. That's dineinnight.com or call 888-64-MEALS. That's 888-64-MEALS.
Do you want to save money on your electric bill? PowerSavingsToday.com has amazing small plug-in units you strategically place in your home. These amazing units automatically capture unused electricity and recycle it for your benefit. Amazing technology! Visit PowerSavingsToday.com to learn how you can immediately begin saving money by recycling unused electricity back into your home. PowerSavingsToday.com. That's PowerSavingsToday.com.
Trying to run or start a business, but the costs and overhead are keeping you from your dream? Lower your costs and reduce your footprint with a virtual office with FlexOffice. You'll have a real business address for your mail, business cards, and website. All of the amenities are provided for you. You and your clients can meet in a professional office building. You'll have access to a fully equipped conference room and classroom with internet and a 42-inch TV monitor for presentations or training. Conveniently located in Sorrento Mesa with access to the 805 and 15. Get your dreams back on track with a professional virtual office today for only $79 per month. It's the most flexible and cost-effective way to get what you need to grow your business, and you only pay for what you use. Call 858-200-7591 or visit us online at flexofficesuites.net. flexofficesuites.net.
To to the only food show that'll admit some fancy foods are a waste of time. Squab? Come on, it's pigeon. Those things are kind of gross. Wedding cakes made up of cupcakes. I think that's stupid. Marcus here likes them.
I think it's a great idea. You don't have to cut the cake. No little kids is going to mess up your cake. From a catering standpoint, I have no work to do. That's great. Here is your pile of cupcakes. It's colored the way you want. You think you're original. Go for it. It's yours. Have fun.
It is a lazy man's cupcake.
You mean cake?
Cake. Lazy man's cake. If you're going to, you know, you're going to do the big fancy wedding cake thing once or seven times if you're a celebrity, you just kind of have to do it. I say don't wuss out with the cupcakes, and your guests don't look forward to sitting through a five-hour boring traditional wedding to get to the point where they get this fancy, wonderful cake. Everyone loves wedding cake.
Yes.
I love wedding cake. You're going to get to the front of the line. You're going to realize they're handing you a cupcake. How happy are you going to be to sit through 5 hours of do you do this to get a cupcake?
That sounds like a really boring wedding at
really,
first.
Really, really boring wedding.
But, you know, if that's what the bride and groom want, or no, if that's, what the,
folks,
what the bride wants, then, you know, you go for it.
I've sat through a boring wedding and been rewarded with a cupcake.
Yeah, I mean, if that's what the bride wants, what are you going to do?
Oh, come on. You're speaking bridezilla.
Yeah, no, just any bride. If she wants cupcakes, if she loves cupcakes, they're crazy over cupcakes, then you
got cupcakes. So much that when I get married, my wedding cake is going to be made out of a big pile of cupcakes.
Yeah.
You just...
That sounds great.
It's a cop-out.
I don't think it's a cop-out.
It's a total cop-out.
You can make it pretty. You can make it fancy.
Do that. If you're planning a wedding, get a stupid wedding cake.
No way. Get a bunch of cupcakes.
You can't make a bunch of cupcakes look like a stack of cushions.
Yeah,
or traveling suitcases.
But you can put little characters on each one and have them.
It's good for a five-year-old's birthday party, but it's not good for...
You can make them for wedding cakes really
wedding,
nice.
Like a Vegas wedding. You just, you know, put some dice on the top. Now it's appropriate. Clearly, folks, we don't agree on that.
No.
Some kitschy foods are kind of worth getting excited over, and some are just not. House-made sausage, perfect example. I have yet to be more impressed with a house-made sausage than a good factory-brand cheddar-filled bratwurst. Honestly.
A cheddar-filled bratwurst? Those things are disgusting.
They're full of cheese.
I know, but it's...
Like your head.
It's... Hey. No, but it's like that horrible, like, 7-Eleven cheese.
His comebacks are great, folks. No.
Hey. No, that's you.
You can't pick on me.
Boing, splat.
Yeah,
that
whatever.
That bounces off me and sticks to you.
Sticks to you. Like cheese. I know there are nitrates in those things. I like them. It gives your skin a really nice plasticky kind of sheen. You were talking about caviar the other day.
I think, I saw a whole tray of like trout caviar, salmon caviar, this guy, and caviar to me is disgusting. I've had caviar that cost a couple $100 an ounce in fine restaurants. I've had it.
Can you taste the difference between that stuff and the little tub of whitefish caviar that comes out? It's like $3.99 for a little jar.
I just, whenever caviar hits my mouth, I see two fish. They're singing the song, "Let's get it on," and I get sick. Because that's what's in my mouth.
You watched like the wrong show growing up, I think.
I don't know, but it's just caviar's horrible. It's salty, it's slimy.
And you like salt.
I do. I enjoy salt. I don't avoid salt.
I like salty stuff.
I love pretzels with salt on it, but it's just, the texture's weird. It's only fancy because it's expensive.
Well, yeah, it's eggs.
It's eggs, but...
It's just fish eggs. I mean, really, it's been treated in a particular way, and, you know, it's imported a lot of the time.
Yeah,
and generally, most things that are imported... Okay, moose blood sausage cake, that also is imported. Comes from Alaska. I don't know that I would get too terribly excited about it if I saw it at an all-you-can-eat buffet.
Yeah. But would you want to try it if it was like... $300 a sausage?
Yes, I would.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I absolutely would. And that is why, you're right, people get excited about caviar.
Yeah.
Okay, you know what? If it was $1.99 for a jar of this stuff, no one would ever want any.
No.
But it's $300 for a little jar of this
stuff. For an ounce,
Oh, it's $300?
It
tastes
must
like glop.
Be good.
I got to get some of that. I'm going to just pile it on a big piece of toast and just slurp it down.
Uh-huh. I'm going to boil an egg.
Premature baby
it up,
fish and all.
Make a little tower out of it, put my caviar on top of that and eat that, really.
It's like a really pretty hard-boiled egg.
Yeah.
It looks great in pictures. I've seen the pictures of them that look really fancy.
I'm all for chocolate caviar.
Therefore, cool. Ew, what? Chocolate caviar?
Yeah. It's one of those molecular gastronomy tricks where they take a binding agent and they take liquid chocolate and they drip it down
and
it cools
off. A little sphere.
But it pops just like caviar. It has the same texture as caviar.
Is it like ice cream or sherbet?
No, it's room temperature. So.
Okay, so it has a little skin that when it comes in contact with your face, it pops.
Well, when you bite it, it pops. But yeah.
Well, that's chocolate though.
Yes.
There isn't a tiny microscopic embryotic little fish baby in it.
Well, if it tasted the same way there was, I wouldn't be sad about it.
Yeah, it's true. Chocolate babies, look out.
Look out, chocolate babies.
Marcus,
I'm coming to get
you.
Want my baby. Sorry.
So chocolate, chocolate now, in non-desserts. Chocolate is used in mole. Sure, the spherical kind, the little, what do you call them? Sphericated?
What are you talking about?
Sphericated? What's the word?
Sphericated?
There's a word. Spherification.
Spherification.
Molecular gastronomists use the term spherification, which if you type it, it's not a real word.
Is that what I was just talking about?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, when you turn stuff into little spheres.
Got it.
It's called spherification, folks. Turn your desserts into tiny, itty-bitty little spheres. Actually, you need a whole lab rig to turn anything into a bunch of spheres and like a, what are those centrifuges?
Oh, no, centrifuges, okay.
You need a centrifuge. If you need a centrifuge in your kitchen and you don't do it for a living.
Invite me over so we can cook together.
Then, yeah, you got the wrong day job. Mole is a concentrated Mexican sauce.
Mole.
Very difficult to make. Stop that. Every time I say mole or mole, you just, with the.
I can't. There, I apologize.
Something wrong with you mentally. That it's got chocolate in it.
Yes.
Real actual chocolate.
Chocolate. Not just cocoa powder, but actual sweet chocolate.
Chopped up chocolate. Sweet chocolate is a big part of this base.
Mm-hmm.
We've talked about mole before, extra things you can do with leftover mole. And our sponsor, Dine In Tonight, features Dolly Parton's famous cocoa-rubbed roast chicken. It's got cocoa and paprika and some cumin in it. And it's regular roasted chicken, but you can kind of taste the cocoa. There's enough cocoa in the rub. It's mouthwateringly tasty.
And they use it right, too. When you're using cocoa as a non-dessert, you're using it with a spice. You're using it with something spicy because cocoa by itself has a slight counteracting to the spice. So you taste the flavor of the pepper and it cuts the heat, but you're not tasting chocolate. You're not tasting sweet.
It makes it more earthy.
Yeah, it makes it more earthy. Enhances the flavor of the kind of peppers you're using while cutting the heat. It's a really, really neat how it works like that.
So instead of using a sweet paprika, use a spicy paprika.
Yes.
That would be really, really good. Mm-hmm. Cumin also adds to the earthiness of the cocoa. And using that with any kind of citrus peel also gives it a nice zing and a nice tang. What else you can do with chocolate and non-desserty foods? Bittersweet chocolate brings out the depth of barbecue sauces.
Mm-hmm.
Very good. You can add a little bit to a tangy steak sauce to make a great flavor for your steak. Meat and these sort of sauces go really, really well, clearly, because, well, all the best ways that they're used, whether it's in a mole or Dolly Parton's chicken or a barbecue sauce, you're using them with meat.
Yeah. I use cocoa and chocolate in my chili when I make chili at home. And it really brings out the tomato. The tomato and the cocoa work really well together to kind of just enhance the flavor of everything else.
That sounds really good. In your crock pot, you can toss some beef short ribs, strong coffee, molasses, some cocoa powder, a little salt and pepper. Let the crock pot do the rest. Very sweet, earthy, rich, wonderful barbecue flavor. The coffee really brings out the depth of the meat. Use beef for that one because it's a nice, deep-flavored meat. And all the great fatty parts on there totally liquefy and just make everything super tasty. When you're searing a nice steak, you can make a pan sauce with bittersweet chocolate chips or shavings and a stout beer.
Well, there we go.
Salt, pepper, and whatever juices and brown bits you have left over from the steak. Folks, don't overcook your steak.
No.
We talk about meat a lot on this show, and if we haven't really made it very, very clear that the only proper way to enjoy a piece of meat carved off of your favorite four-legged animal is to have it rare, or at the very most, medium rare.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you don't like the cold red raw center, you can have a slightly warm red, mostly raw center. That's fine. We won't hold it against you. Just don't cook it to medium. If you cook it to medium well, I lose all respect for you, and if you cook it to well, I will track you down.
Yeah, only if it's in a stew.
Because, well, you need that.
Yeah, you need that.
Otherwise, you're not going to be able to eat it.
You're going to gnaw on it all day.
You're going to chew on it like a puppy dog. You can stir a tablespoon of unsweetened cocoa into a stew to make it deeper. Mm-hmm. Especially if you've made it a little bit too tangy, like I sometimes do. I get carried away with citrus juices because I like what they do for food, and sometimes I wind up with fruit juice flavored stew. You know, yeah, okay, water that down, throw some more spices in it, put some more meat in it, but you can put some unsweetened cocoa powder in it, and that gives it its depth back. That's always great. You can make an awesome dip for your French fries by mixing, get this, bitter chocolate with ketchup. Bitter chocolate, unsweetened chocolate powder mm-hmm. with ketchup.
You know, I'm totally buying into that because sometimes I will dip a French fry into chocolate ice cream.
You're not the first man to try that.
No. I saw other people doing it, so I did it.
The first man to try that was really high.
I believe so.
But you know what? It kind of stuck.
Yeah, because ketchup's sweet, ice cream's sweet, and then a little cocoa in there. Yeah,
it's like dipping your French fries in your chocolate shake.
Yeah.
People do that.
Yes.
It's like that whole frosty thing.
Yeah, even vanilla shakes now, but yeah, people love...
Or a strawberry shake. I would probably dip a sandwich into a strawberry shake. Sorry, folks, but I probably would just to see what it tasted like. So the cocoa with the ketchup, very good. You can also put a little chocolate syrup, actual sweet regular Hershey's chocolate syrup, into ranch dressing. Sounds weird, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
It's actually pretty tasty. I tried it. This is not my own invention. At Max Brenner's in Las Vegas. Now, Max Brenner's has this great chocolate shop.
Oh, yeah.
But they serve food. And they have a dessert pizza, which is made out of like a kind of a sweetened pizza dough. And then it's completely covered with nothing but chocolate and candy bits and caramel and s'more type stuff. Very tasty. It's a little unnecessary.
My stomach started to
hurt
a little bit.
It's a big pile of candy on pizza dough. Really, you can get a bobbly sort of thing and just dress it up with some ice cream toppings and some pieces of Reese's peanut butter cups, and you could make this thing at home. You don't have to spend $15 for it, but going there was a nice experience, and the store is very pretty.
Fair enough.
Just gorgeous looking. He's got these pipes, what looks like they're piping chocolate all through the ceiling, and it comes out of that.
Willy Wonka, yeah.
Kind of, yeah. It's except he's bald.
But Willy Wonka wears a hat, so you never know.
Daha! You've solved it. Max Brenner is actually Willy Wonka, folks.
There we go.
It's his secret identity. You know, that's not a very good disguise.
No.
It's him. we know it's you. That FBI, you know, fake name relocation program did not work for you. It's a very tasty sauce. You can put it on a lot of things, veggie dip, anything that's like a French fry or a sweet potato French fry has a natural sweetness, so that's going to go great with this kind of dip. It was actually tasty. I had it with regular French fries, and it was good. Had me kind of dipping all the rest of the components of my lunch
now,
in it.
Was it fully mixed? When I vision that, I see like the dark chocolate swirl in there, so it has like depth to the mix itself. But
that would
actually
be really pretty. You should probably do that.
I'm going to do that.
This was fully mixed. It looked just like ranch dressing, only slightly more brown.
Okay.
And tell your friends it's cowboy sauce or something so that it sounds more manly. You're not going to tell them it's got chocolate
sauce
in the ranch dressing. It's got chocolate in it. Just tell them it's cowboy sauce.
Ranch dressing, cowboy sauce. Yeah, they're related.
Men like the word cowboy.
I don't.
They like to think that they're cowboys. If you feed them something that makes them think that they're more cowboyish, they'll be all over it.
See, whenever I've walked into a gay place,
it's
very cowboy themed.
Absolutely impossible to prove me wrong. So you're just talking for no reason here.
I think I'm averted to it because
coming out
because. Yeah, most of the gay bars have cowboy themes.
Coming up next on Food Fight Radio, Silky Chickens. They're really cool. They have silky, fluffy, white feathers, and they look furry. But they have black skin, black meat, and black bones. Looks amazing on a dinner plate or in a soup. We've got all the nerdy bird details when we come back. Keep it tuned to Food Fight Radio.
When our kids started school,
I could see they needed an extra challenge. We tried the supplement at home, but we were exhausted and they were bored.
Then we discovered Renaissance Village Academy, located at 9988 Hybert Street in Scripps Ranch. RVA is a school for gifted, profoundly gifted, and or highly motivated students in kindergarten through 8th grade. The kids are so excited to go to school now, and they're definitely challenged.
Each week includes karate, drama, music, arts, education, gardening, gardening, and other valuable life skills.
So we're confident that they're being well prepared for success.
RVA is unlike any school you've ever seen. I'm so glad we found Renaissance Village Academy.
It's the school I wish I had gone to.
I know, right? Go to rva.us.com to find out more about how your child can rediscover the joy of learning. Renaissance Village Academy. Personalized
and don't forget motivating.
Education for the gifted.
Go to rva.us.com.
Okay, gang, our dinner's here from Dine-In Tonight. Come on, let's go.
You know, I remember before there was Dine-In Tonight and people had to cook dinner for themselves.
What? Really? That's crazy. People don't have time for that.
Oh, Ma. Are you telling stories again?
I know, but back then, if you didn't cook for yourself, you had to have fast food.
That's so unhealthy.
And then all that changed when Dine-In Tonight opened. All you had to do was sign up online and they'd bring fresh, hot, gourmet dinners right to your front door every night and for only $10 a dinner. And you didn't even have to choose. Everything was all done for you and the food was always different. And suddenly everyone's lives got so much easier.
Wow, Grandma. That must have been so awful to live like that.
Yes, my dears. Those were hard times. Those were hard times indeed.
Dine-In Tonight. Ready to eat dinners delivered to your home or office. Start simplifying your life one meal at a time. Call 1-888-64-MEALS. That's 1-888-64-MEALS.
In this corner, authentic New York-style pizza from Knockout Pizza Miramesa. Pizza, wings, pasta, subs, and salads. And in that corner, the other guys. And the winner by a knockout. KnockoutPizzaMiramesa.com.
Charles Cole Jewelers delivers dreams, bringing the deepest wish glowingly to life. This is jewelry as unique and special as the dreams that create and desire. Charles Cole has an impressive history and extensive collection, including Hearts on Fire and gorgeous colored diamonds and gemstones. Charles Cole Jewelry will indulge even the most refined tastes. They invite you to visit their design showroom and production facility in Fashion Valley Mall and see for yourself how personal service and highest value are reasons why Charles Cole is San Diego's trusted advisor for all things jewelry. Ask them about their incredible risk-free custom work. Call Charles Cole Jewelers at 619-298-5655. That's 619-298-5655. Or online at charlescole.com. That's charlescole.com. Visit Charles Cole Jewelers in the Fashion Valley Mall for amazing jewelry that resonates, excites, and inspires. charlescole.com.
To Food Fight Radio, folks, we won't just tell you to cook something, we'll tell you why. And then usually we'll just go ahead and cook it for you and try it on the air and tell you whether or not you should bother. And unlike every other food show out there, Fork Report, we won't just talk about salsa and facial hair. We are serious about our food. And folks, if you're afraid of trying new things and are fine with a cup of noodles for lunch and the same old dry chicken dinner, chicken breast for dinner, then this is not the show for you. Sorry. Nope, not your show. This is Food Fight, and weird food needs love too. Silky chickens.
Silky. When you say silky, I know of silky worms.
But not silk silky worms. These are not chickens that make silk. These are chickens that look silky.
Look silky.
They look silky. They are named for their fluffy plumage.
Plumage.
Their feathers. They don't have any of the hard pin parts of their feathers. So basically, their entire body is covered with down. They obviously can't fly. They're like other chickens.
Yeah.
And they have blue earlobes. Turquoise blue earlobes. They're like really cool looking. They have five toes on each foot, where most chickens have only four. So they're freak chickens.
They're part human.
They're maybe. This is like descended from a very flamboyant, I think, species of human that must have worn a lot of decorative feathers.
Mm.
And slowly over eons and millions of years shrank and started pecking on the ground for seeds.
Millions and millions. Isn't the Earth only 5,000 years old?
That's a subject for another day, my friend. Silkies are well known for their calm, friendly temperament. Uh-huh. They're considered an ideal pet.
Dodo birds. They're the new dodo birds.
I don't know how smart they are, but They're ridiculously cute. They're very broody. They make good mothers, and even though they do lay their own eggs, they're commonly used to hatch eggs from other breeds and bird species. So breeders use silkies to hatch the eggs of lots of other different types of birds because other birds will lay the eggs and walk away, which is stupid from an evolutionary standpoint. I mean, okay, you go to the trouble of making the egg and depleting your body fat and your ability to keep yourself alive, and then what, you walk away from the eggs without incubating them? How dumb is that? These chickens, actually, they like to just sit on the eggs and wait for them to hatch.
Wow.
Yeah, so they don't really make that many eggs. They're very broody. They're kind of small, and they come in regular size forms and bantams, which is a breeder term for mini.
Mini.
So they come in mini versions.
Aww.
So not only are they super cute, but they come real small.
I'll have to get one for my chicken.
Like chihuahuas.
My roost. Yeah.
It could be like, you know, and they're friendly. And they get beat up a lot because they're kind of shy and they're sweet. So the other chickens in your yard will beat them up.
Maybe I won't get one.
Beat
That's
up on
mean.
Him, and he's going to get bullied.
Aww.
Yeah. Yeah, they do a lot of, as the millennials would say, bullying.
Bullying.
Bullying. Yeah, you got to say it right. You're not saying it right.
No,
you'd make
I can't.
A terrible millennial.
Yep, I agree.
So these guys, they pretty much only come from China, but they were written about by Marco Polo, who described them as a wool-bearing chicken.
A wool-bearing chicken.
Not very smart, was he?
Yeah.
No, I mean, they're fluffy, but I mean, it doesn't look like a sheep to me. I mean, I'm looking at a picture of it, and they were used in sideshows, promoted as having actual mammalian fur, and they were telling people that they were the descendants of chickens and rabbits having mated.
Huh.
The offspring of chickens and rabbits, folks. I don't know, it sounds pretty tasty to me.
Yeah.
They came to the West via the Silk Road. So...
Silk Road. Okay.
Silk Road. It's not that interesting, is it?
No.
Their feathers are real fluffy and been compared to silk. It's just basically like down. So it's a cute, fluffy little down pillow walking around. They come in a bunch of different colors. And the reason we're describing how much they look, the way they look so much, is because people do like to get them as pets.
Mm-hmm.
They're basically great little pets. And they peck around your backyard and occasionally lay little secret Easter eggs for you to go out there
Aww.
And find. And then, hey, there's breakfast.
Yep.
You know, even if you're not eating this chicken, and we are going to talk about eating this chicken, you could just have them lay eggs for you. Unfortunately, the eggs are not black.
That's fine.
They're regular cream-colored chicken eggs. There's nothing special about them, which is a shame.
Aww.
Because that would be awesome.
Poor, unmemorable eggs.
I know. But unlike regular chickens, which are just okay, and I'm fine with eating chickens just because they're so useful and their meat goes into everything... These particular chickens, they have black skin, black bones, and dark grayish-black meat. The melanin in their body goes all the way down from their skin into every possible connective tissue in their little body. It's really, really rare.
Yeah.
There's only a handful of other animals on the planet that even have, like, remotely that kind of a feature. They do well in confinement, and they love children.
Aww.
We're going to talk to you about how you can use their headless little carcasses to make food.
Yay, they love kids. Let's eat them.
Yeah, I know. The black meat is considered an unusual or bizarre food, mm-hmm. if you will. And in most American-type cuisines, people don't generally like it. It's not like regular chicken meat. It's a little bit more stringy, and it's considered gamey.
Oh.
But to me, that just sort of makes it more attractive as something
yeah, it makes
I
it more
really
fun.
Want
yeah.
to try. Because it doesn't taste like chicken meat. And haven't you people had enough chicken? I mean, try something
hey,
else.
This chicken doesn't taste like chicken.
Yeah, it tastes like, well, black yeah, chicken.
Black chicken.
Yeah, so silky chicken, stringy, more gamey. It's usually sold as a medicinal food.
Oh, so like, you're sick. Here, eat this.
You're sick. Here, eat this. What is it? You know, it's black chicken meat. Looks kind of voodoo-ish. You're like, what? I don't know what that is, but whatever it is, I'm not eating it. Chinese medicine has said that chicken soup made with silky meat is a curative food. It will make you better. It will cure what ails you. So usually this stuff is being made into a broth.
Oh, nice.
Because a lot of cultures don't really like the taste of the meat too much. And if you're cooking it in a soup, most of the flavor and generally any deliciousness in the meat is going to get leached out into the soup.
Yeah.
So the resultant leftover meat you have floating around in your soup, you may as well almost not eat it. Because all the goodness... has been put into the broth. And they use really interesting ingredients in these traditional type of soups. Wolf berries.
Now, wolf berries, that's not parts of a male wolf, is it?
No.
Okay.
No, that would be Rocky Mountain wolf oysters.
Wolf berries,
but,
okay.
Okay, to be fair, if they were deep fried, I'd probably try one time. I mean, actually, to be honest with you, I probably would. White yam is also used, orange peel, fresh ginger. Some fusion restaurants have started using them in French cuisine and French fusion, like in a confit.
Oh,
which
nice.
Might be really good. And since it is stringy, that would be a good way to soften it up.
Yeah, exactly.
And make it more delicious. And anytime you simmer something in fat, come on, people, it's going to be good.
Yeah, you simmer it in fat for, 8 hours? So, yeah.
Some people do a confit for 48 hours.
Yes.
Straight.
Mm-hmm.
That would be just, God, they would fall apart. I mean, I would just strain it out of there and put it on a roll. I would. And that would be like my breakfast for a week. Everything goes into a pot, just enough water to cover it and cook together for about 5 hours. You want to use some funky ingredients, people. You want to get your white yam. You want to get your wolf berries. You can put in rice wine. Get some orange peel, definitely. With this type of flavor, cinnamon, whole or dried cranberries. I like the whole cranberries because they pop and they're cool. Nutmeg, allspice, all great to use with this type of soup with these types of basic flavors. You can also roast a silky chicken, roast it for a good long time to basically beat the stringiness right out of it, or beat it with your fists. That's a good way to tenderize meat. Put it in there with fruits and dates and bacon and figs. Put it all in there. That would be a very tasty roast. Yams. Wonderful side dish. Slightly sweet. Goes great with the type of spices we were just talking about. So the soup or the roast, silky chickens are not very big.
No.
And so as a result, you'll probably want to use the resultant broth as probably the beginning to any multi-course meal. Pulled Chinese spiced pork would be a really good main course with that. And we are going to provide a picture of a silky chicken on our website. And Marcus, you have got to take a look at this little guy right here.
Oh, he has no eyes. He's adorable.
We're looking at a picture. I'm showing Marcus a picture of
it. Looks like a big cotton ball with a little cotton ball on top with a little beak sticking out.
It's a silky chick. And it's so cute. It's just ridiculous. It's so fuzzy that it can't even see.
It's like an Eskimo, a little chicken wearing an Eskimo jacket. It's
really adorable.
Yeah.
You don't want to eat this thing because he's so cute.
No.
But they get a little bit uglier when they get up older, but not really.
Not really.
I mean, they're really super cute chickens. So you have to imagine.
I could see him thinking that's wool.
What a horrible human being is actually killing these things.
Eh, you're hungry.
Oh, you know. If you get hungry enough, you're going to eat the cutest animal in the world, rabbits.
Yeah.
I like rabbits. I don't like what they do to my yard, and that makes eating them a little bit easier for me. Don't humiliate this chicken by preparing it simply, or dishonor it by putting it into a chicken salad. Go ahead and just treat it special. Treat it accordingly. Make a nice healing soup with some traditional Asian ingredients in it. Drive the 27 miles to the good Asian grocery store that's closest to you and actually find these things. You will be really, really glad that you did. So, folks, just to recap, silky chickens are adorable. Mm-hmm. Eat them anyway.
Yes.
Put them in soups, hot pots, stir fries, confit, anything that will highlight the cool black meat of the chicken. They also have black bones. So when you're gnawing on these chicken parts, you know, the black skin, black meat, black bones roasted in the oven. It's not burnt. It's just a really awesome looking chicken. Black chicken meat in a stir fry would look totally awesome. I think. Use exotic mushrooms, crunchy blanched veggies, maybe some glass noodles.
Ooh.
Getting hungry again. Dang
me
it.
Me too.
Always happens to me. Buyexoticmeats.com. That is my favorite website for buying exotic meats. And it's easy to remember because the name of the website is buyexoticmeats.com. For this stuff, you can expect to pay about $28 for a 1.5 to 2 pound whole cleaned chicken.
Oh,
wow. Without its head, without its feathers.
Only 1.5 to 2 pounds? That's itty.
It's really pricey.
Yeah, it's
I mean,
tiny.
They're very, very spendy. At this price, it's best to think of it as medicine for your soul.
Got it.
This is also my favorite online source for yak and llama meat, so I definitely recommend that you try it.
Llama meat.
Also, at this website, it's a great place to get your really exotic burgers, like you can get llama burgers. It's hard to find a source for chicken meat for these because usually people just want them as pets. So really, there's only one or two websites where you can really just get the meat and not buy the wholesale cute little fuzzy chicks.
I might want to do that.
You might want to do that. And you're not going to want to kill it.
No.
So, I mean,
I'll get a boy and a girl until I have a bunch. And then have a bunch of babies.
You'll have cute little clucking chickens waking you up at 4 o'clock in the morning. You know what? Yeah. That is going to be great when your wife complains to me about that and blames me for it being my idea. I'm here to tell you no. Are you listening?
Huh?
I'm saying to Marcus chickens. That he should not do that.
Little cute chickens.
And he's
They're
not listening.
So cute.
Not listening to me.
I'm going to get some. Good idea, Claire. Thank you for talking to me.
Dang it. Happens every time. I am not responsible for your behavior. But the eggs are cool. If the eggs were black, that would be just totally awesome. That would be so great. Black omelet.
Black omelet.
I would love that. We're going to post this picture of this cute little silky chicken baby on our website so you can look at it and say, aw, I want one. Coming up next, we'll be discussing the muffalata. It's not a swear word.
Nope.
It's a sandwich. Probably a lot of you have never even heard of this, and quite frankly, I'm upset that it took me this long to discover it. It's awesome, and we'll tell you where to get the best one in San Diego. We have eaten so many
wonderful muffalatas.
It's messed up. It's a battle of lunch meat. That's the best kind here on Food Fight Radio.
Have you looked at your grocery bill lately? You've probably noticed that good food is expensive. And between planning, shopping, cooking, and cleaning up, it's also time-consuming. And probably one of the least rewarding daily chores you have. Hey, here's an idea. Let Dine In Tonight simplify your life, one meal at a time. They hand-deliver hot, delicious, gourmet meals right to your door at dinner time. A few of their 100 gourmet recipes include maple-glazed baby back ribs. Oh, hello. How about lemon chicken piccata, roast beef with Dijon sauce, roasted red snapper, Havarti chicken with portobello mushrooms? Choose 3 or 5 nights per week for just $10 per entree with no delivery fee. Get a free week of meals delivered by using promotion code KCBQ. Sign up online at dineintonight.com. That's dineinnight.com or call 888-64-MEALS. That's 888-64-MEALS.
In this corner, authentic New York-style pizza from Knockout Pizza Mira Mesa. And in that corner, the other guys. And the winner by a knockout. KnockoutPizzaMiraMesa.com.
Do you want to save money on your electric bill? PowerSavingsToday.com has amazing small plug-in units you strategically place in your home. These amazing units automatically capture unused electricity and recycle it for your benefit. Amazing technology! Visit PowerSavingsToday.com to learn how you can immediately begin saving money by recycling unused electricity back into your home. PowerSavingsToday.com. That's PowerSavingsToday.com.
Trying to run or start a business, but the costs and overhead are keeping you from your dream? Lower your costs and reduce your footprint with a virtual office with FlexOffice. You'll have a real business address for your mail, business cards, and website. All of the amenities are provided for you. You and your clients can meet in a professional office building. You'll have access to a fully equipped conference room and classroom with internet and a 42-inch TV monitor for presentations or training. Conveniently located in Sorrento Mesa with access to the 805 and 15. Get your dreams back on track with a professional virtual office today for only $79 per month. It's the most flexible and cost-effective way to get what you need to grow your business, and you only pay for what you use. Call 858-200-7591 or visit us online at flexofficesuites.net. flexofficesuites.net.
Welcome back to Food Fight Radio, and I'm your host, Claire Katz. With me in studio is Chef Marcus.
Hello.
If you haven't met. Folks, just when you thought every sandwich trend has been done and overdone and then finally deep fried at the fair, something interesting has emerged from the depths of the deli business, the muffalata. They're so distinctive that they demand their own bread, muffalata bread. Marcus, our resident muffalata master, our deli meat director, our sandwich sensei,
oh, yeah.
If you will, will enlighten us with the triumphant and stirring love story of the Mufalada.
Boy, you know you want to eat a Mufalada.
Stop that. Stop it. I said no.
Okay.
When you talked about this yesterday, I said that's, you know, you're in trouble.
Ooh, you
stop singing.
All right.
Stop. No one likes
Mufalada.
Your singing.
Everybody loves
no
it.
One,
everybody.
No one likes your singing.
I have like
your
one person.
Your wife told me she does not like your singing.
Well, she's told me she does not like my singing.
You were drunk.
Oh,
she was drunk. Somebody was drunk.
Somebody was
anyone
drunk.
Who likes your singing is drunk. Tell us about the Mufalada.
Okay,
and don't sing it.
Oh, man. Okay, so Mufalada. It is an Italian. Actually, it started in New Orleans. What it was an Italian family would always have kind of an antipasta plate for lunch. They go to work. They come from work, grab it, go to work with their hands. It'd always get messy. And then someone's like, hey, why don't we put it on some bread?
That's brilliant.
That's
it. You wouldn't expect that.
No.
That's like something no one would ever think of in a million years.
Well, that's how the hot dog came about and everything else. But yeah, so they started playing with it. And then they tried the braided breads. They tried croissants, all these others. And they finally found the bread. And they called it a Mufalada bread,
these
which is
Italians
a focaccia.
A long, long time ago. And they just had a big basket of croissant hanging around.
Yeah. No, this is in New Orleans. The Italians
gotcha.
In New
Orleans.
Orleans.
The Italians in New Orleans. All right, because there's a huge French influence down there. I would probably enjoy that. I've had it. I would love it on a croissant.
Yeah, but they wanted more hearty, so they put on a Mufalada bread.
What's a Mufalada bread?
It's a focaccia with
Excuse you. Jeez.
Focaccia is, they take the pizza dough, as opposed to rolling it out, they make bread out of it. And they put herbs on top. Now, the Mufalada is, they put a lot more onions and flavoring on top of that as well. So the
highlight isn't necessarily the meat.
They didn't have a name for it, so they named it after the bread.
They named the bread first?
Yes. It was a Mufalada bread.
What kind of a word is Mufalada? That's a curse word.
It's Mufalada.
It sounds like a curse. Stop.
It's Mufalada.
I told you. I told you to stop with the singing.
I can't
We've
help
gone
it.
Through this so many times. Your future on this show depends on your ability to stop singing.
Everybody loves it.
No one likes it.
No one likes it.
It's a funny word, though.
It is a Mufalada. Funny Mufalada.
Someone tripped and stubbed their toe while they were carrying all this bread, and they said, Mufalada.
Mufalada.
And then, ooh, that's not bad.
Yeah.
No, hey, all right. Guess what, folks? Mufalada bread. Mufalada bread's coming.
So what you got on a Mufalada is you have like a pickle relish on the bottom. You have salami. You have mortadella. You have ham. And then you have provolone cheese. And on top, you have an olive tapenade. Oil, vinegar, and herbs. And it sounds really simple. When you put them all together, it's just a great
It sounds
crisp
simple.
Sandwich.
It sounds like an antipasto plate on a bun.
It's, yeah, now that
Which
I said that first.
Which makes sense because that's I guess, how the
do,
whole thing
you
came
do
about.
You have the pepperoncinis in there also.
Why didn't other sandwich people come up with putting olive tapenade on a sandwich as a spread?
Because
it just seems kind of obvious to me.
They were bored. Not bored, lazy.
I think they had leftovers.
Yeah.
I hate leftovers. I like just using them.
Leftovers are either stew or sandwich in my house.
Yeah, exactly. That's and in this case,
sandwich.
A whole giant city
Mufalada
full of people.
Mufalada stew.
Mufalada.
Okay,
no, you know, Mufalada stew, I don't know about that one. I think that one is best limited to the deli.
Yeah.
Actually.
Yeah, you're right.
Although, make tiny ones as appetizers.
That would be a lot of fun. I've seen
teeny,
that done.
Tiny Mufaladas.
Make a big, get a big loaf of bread, make them and cut
like
them
the
out.
The same size
them.
As like a whole size marshmallow.
Uh huh.
Except itty bitty little Mufalada buns.
That would be cute.
That would be just adorable.
That would be like little pins on top.
Frilly toothpicks.
Yeah.
You really. Cannot have an appetizer without a frilly toothpick.
No, you need one of those.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Frilly toothpicks makes everything.
Or
taste
maybe the
better.
Sword toothpicks. I like those. They look like little swords. They have the handles.
Putting a sword in it isn't going to make a teeny tiny sandwich any more manly.
No, but it's going to make it a little more cute.
Just own it. Just put a little pink frilly toothpick in it, and while you're at it, put some edible sparkle on top.
Edible sparkle.
On your sandwich.
On.
It's a tiny sandwich. It's a very girly sandwich, folks. I mean, putting a sword in it isn't going to help you look more manly.
But there's so much fun to play with after you eat. You got a little sword and you can
fairy sized sandwiches with little Peter Pan swords in them. Do a Tinkerbell party theme. That's the only way you're getting away with the teeny tiny swords. But that is a good party for a 3-year-old girl.
I agree.
See, still not manly.
I have a 3-year-old girl. So I'm obviously
now
just
you know
in
what
dad
to do.
Mode. Now I know what to do.
See, and that's, you know, also.
And she loves salami. So no, she'll probably
nothing,
like a Mufalada sandwich.
Nothing you're going to be doing in life is ever going to be manly, just FYI.
Oh, I got rid of my man card a long time ago. I'm fine with that.
You had to turn it in.
I threw it away.
You get it back when you get paroled. So the key components here of the muffaletta, just to recap, most important is the bread, right? Can you put a muffaletta sandwich on something besides muffaletta bread?
You can now because, I mean, it's far removed and it's different. I mean, a lot of places don't even put on muffaletta bread anymore.
You're not going to get fine if you put a muffaletta sandwich on a Kaiser roll.
You could do it, I guess, or a Dutch crunch roll. That would be fun.
Everything in there is kind of preserved and antipasto-y and briny and olivey and pickled. Wouldn't putting a sweet really, really good, like a challah?
A challah would be great, or a sourdough roll, I was thinking.
It would be like a really nice sweet counterpart that, you know, you and I have eaten a lot of muffaletta bread over the past couple of days. And they're all kind of the same. They're not really interesting other than that they have stuff stuck to the top of them before they're baked.
Exactly.
You know, and the shape is obviously pretty cool, but you can take any kind of a roll, a Kaiser roll, a rye roll, anything that has any sort of flavoring that you really, really like. Try challah. Mm-hmm. That's very good. But in order to make this stuff on your own, you're going to need pickle relish.
Yes.
You're going to need some great salamis, including a salami, a mortadella, and what was the other one?
The ham.
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 I can't believe I forgot about ham.
No, you were saying salami, so it didn't fit in. But yeah.
I love ham.
Yeah.
Ham is like one of my very favorite meats. I mean, honestly, if it tasted any better, I'd probably wear it.
No, you don't want one of those bologna salamis. You want like a dry salami. Or a soppressata salami.
That's a good point. Get the dry, salty stuff. The kind that's been hung upside down in a damp cellar for 6 months.
The kind you got to cut the mold off of and then slice it.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, well, they sell them like the have the mold casing. It's very.
I thought that was some sort of a powdery coating that they just left on there to keep it preserved.
Mold.
That's
mold? That's mold.
I ate that.
So did I.
That explains a lot of those weird visions and floating green fairies I experienced later on that afternoon because... That's mold, okay?
That's
you know
mold.
What? I did not know that.
Yeah.
It's like eating moldy bread.
I would love
bread.
To have had a picture of your face right now when you said, I did not know that. You're like,
Like the pupils are like dilating
in
memory of, oh, I shouldn't have ate that.
Yeah.
Oops. But yeah. And then on top of the meat, you want to put provolone.
Provolone.
It has to be provolone.
Yes.
Otherwise, it's not going to taste right.
It's, yeah. And you want aged, you want a nice sharp provolone, not a watered down. What is it called? Mozzarella provolone. You want a nice aged...
The hard kind.
The hard kind, yes.
The expensive kind.
Uh-huh.
The kind that costs like $1 a slice. Get that kind. Really, really good. Really invest in it in a super awesome sandwich. You want
it's
the ingredients to be perfect. Mm-hmm. If you've gone out of the way to get special bread, you might as well go all the way and get the special cheese. Mm-hmm. And then on top, do you want mayonnaise or mustard or anything on there?
No, I just want the tapenade. The tapenade has
just
a nice...
Just the olive tapenade. And olive you tapenade. Do not have to make... No. Olive tapenade. Mm-mm. And you can make it, if you want to make it, out of black olives or green olives or a combination of the two. I like to take stuffed olives and mince those up, particularly the ones that are stuffed with both garlic and jalapenos.
Oh, those
These
are nice.
Are also, just a little extra tidbit about me, my absolute favorite olive to put in my martinis.
Gotcha.
Which means I often have a great supply laid in my cabinets. At home. Mm-hmm. So, yes, if I'm going to be using something that has olives in it, those are going to be the first olives I grab for because, quite frankly, we drink a lot of martinis in my home. And I like to have the proper accoutrements for my drinks. What?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, if you like something, you want all the pieces to it.
The weird face there.
No, I was excited.
I'm a normal human being. I spend $30 on olives. Is that normal?
Yes.
Well,
yes.
Okay, it's normal for me.
Yes.
The what's normal for me is not necessarily normal for you. Go out to the store and get a little pre-made jar of olive tapenade. Mm-hmm. Do not, I've said it before, do not go to Williams-Sonoma.
Yeah. And if neither your relish or your tapenade has pepperoncinis in it, buy some sliced pepperoncinis also and throw that in there.
Now, I know it sounds like we're spending an awful lot of time talking about how to compose the proper sandwich.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, we went ahead and got muffalatas from every single deli in a tri-state area that makes these things. And we ate them just so we could tell you the absolute best ingredients. And, folks, this is not a normal sandwich.
No.
It doesn't taste at all like a regular deli sandwich. Usually when you walk into a deli, okay, it's because you kind of want like a light lunch. Maybe there's like a little cup of soup that comes with it, you know, and it's like you're going to get a turkey or a roast beef or a ham.
Mm-hmm.
That's basically it. Those are your options. It's going to be on one of three different types of boring bread.
Uh-huh.
And your only toppings are lettuce, tomato, mayonnaise, and maybe something else. But generally, that's about it. That's your sandwich. It all tastes kind of the same.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing interesting about it. Now, finally, we've discovered something that you can get at a deli that's actually fascinating. So, yeah, we're spending an entire segment of the show talking about this ridiculous sandwich. And if you had to eat 15 muffaladas in 1 week, darn it, you'd be talking about it for an entire segment, too. Crazy. Craziness. Anyway, muffaladas. You can see photos of our recent sandwich binge on our website at foodfightradio.com.
And now for your moment of clarification.
And now I have something to say about cakes. Have you ever noticed how getting any kind of custom-made cake is priced in some kind of alternate reality where these cake people think they're curing cancer or erecting a skyscraper in Dubai? Because it's kind of a normal price for a little dinky 6-inch round vanilla nothing that feeds 3.5. But if you want something that's, you know, God forbid, shaped like something other than a brick, well, that'll be about $200 more. And they give you some malarkey about if it's an inch taller, they have to use a half a sheet instead of a quarter sheet. And the whole business is ridiculous piece of... You know what? I'm just going to stop right there. I'm just not that mad about it. Maybe next week. Tune in next time for Cooking with Licorice. Sounds weird, but trust me, you'll definitely want to make some of these super easy sweets. Brownies, blondies, cookies, cupcakes, bundt cake, coffee cake, icing, ice cream, and ice cream sauces. We'll even give you one or two of the recipes. Right? Because it's a food show, right? It's a food show. Also, food as a weapon. How big businesses are slowly poisoning you on purpose. And we'll tell you what you can do with that parsnip. All next week on your favorite food show. This is Claire Katz reminding you that one out of every five visits to KFC, they're out of chicken. Yet they never seem to have a shortage of unskilled workers to tell me.
Have you heard the news? Bad things come in twos. But I never knew about the little things. Every single day, things get in my way. Someone has to pay for the little things.
Food Fight Radio on KCBQ is sponsored by Fran Vest International, Inc.